But with my, and my throat, I know it sounds kind of, it doesn't hurt. I don't have a sore throat. It's just between the drainage and everything else, it's kind of coming and going. But having this, I thought about the way we do in so much of our lives. Titled our lesson this morning, Treating the Symptoms. Because that's usually what we do in almost every area of life, is we treat the symptoms. When someone is badly in debt, the first answer that is many times given to them is, well, you need to get a debt consolidation loan, so it'll lower your monthly payment. Well, lowering the monthly payment doesn't make the debt go away. It just stretches it out for a longer period of time. Or sometimes people will say, well, you know, you've got all this credit card debt, and you've got some equity in your home, so you need to refinance your home and put that credit card debt in there on your home loan. About all that accomplishes is, that means that Hardee's burger that you paid $3.50 or $4 for, and you charged it on your credit card, and then you consolidate it onto your home loan, so you get to pay for that hamburger for the next 30 years at one penny a year, just about. doesn't get rid of the debt. It just keeps moving it along. It cures the symptom, which was, well, my payments were so high, I couldn't make the payments. So I'll consolidate it so my payments are lower. Of course, most of the time, when people consolidate their debts like that, what they wind up doing is going back and running those credit card debts back up, and then they don't have any equity left in their house to do all that with. And a lot of times the people wind up with bankruptcy and all kinds of problems as a result of that. But certainly financial areas are not the only place we do that. The Pharisees were famous for doing this kind of thing. Jesus said, you wash the outside of the cup so that it looks all nice and clean, but on the inside, it's still full of all of the nasty, dirty stuff. He said, if you clean the inside out first, then the outside could be clean also. Can you imagine going to someone's house and seeing beautiful, oh, they got them sparkling dishes on the outside of the cup and on the back side of the plate and the bottom side of the bowl, but then you look in that cup and in that bowl and in that plate and it's covered with old food and got dirt on it and hair and grime and bugs and, oh, it would make you lose your appetite, wouldn't it? Wouldn't want to eat at their house. It kind of reminded me of the story about the family that washed their dishes with two waters. If you're interested in that, you'll have to ask me later. But that's what we often do. We make certain things look good. We cover the symptoms up, but the problem is still there. When we have a sore throat, there's usually a cause for that. Now, it could be anything from a sinus problem to screaming too loud at a ball game to strep throat or something serious. But what do? When we get a sore throat? Well, we go get that chloroseptic spray or that cough drop or throat lozenge. We spray that spray down in the throat so we can't feel it. Didn't make the sore throat go away, really. The problem is still there. But we can't feel it anymore, and so the symptom is gone. Same thing with a headache or any other kind of ache and pain, arthritis or anything else. There's a cause to that pain, but we want the painkiller that's going to get rid of the pain so we don't feel the pain, but the damage, the thing that's hurt and injured, is still there. And it's still continuing to cause us the problem. It didn't go away. Oh, how about that lack of sleep? Instead of working out our schedule so we skip one of those TV shows or leave out one of those activities so we can get an extra hour of sleep, what do? Well, coffee, caffeine pills, something to get us to wake us up and keep going a little longer, even though we're short on sleep. We cover up the symptom, which is, well, I drank 4 cups of coffee. I don't feel tired now. That doesn't mean your body's not still tired. That doesn't mean you've gotten enough sleep. You're just not feeling it. But it'll catch up with you. When you come down off those cups of coffee, you're going to feel worse than you did before. And there are so many areas in our lives. These are just a few. Where we cover up the symptoms instead of dealing with the problem. We do that a lot in our relationships. We walk up to somebody at church and we smile and we shake their hand or give them a hug, and it looks like everything's okay. But inside, we've got hard feelings toward that person. Or we're thinking about how they mistreated us, or how we're going to mistreat them, or how we're going to talk about them, or they're going to talk about us. And we have all these things, but we cover it up. But we don't let anybody see the signs of that disease that's going on. And when it comes to the sin in our lives, our society has become an expert at just treating the symptoms of sin. Of course, the first and most obvious symptom of sin is guilt. When we do something wrong, we are supposed to feel guilt. But our society, over the past decades, has done everything that it possibly can to cover up the guilt. Popular psychology, not effective psychology, mind you, but popular psychology that says, I'm okay, you're okay. When I was in high school, I had a t-shirt that said, if I'm okay and you're okay, then explain this. And it had a picture of Jesus on the cross. If we were all okay, Jesus wouldn't need to go to the cross. The reason he went to the cross is because we're not okay. So we said, oh, you're okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't let that guilt overcome you. That guilt will keep you from living your life. It'll keep you from having fun. It'll keep you from enjoying things. So just don't worry about that. There is a reason for that guilt. Just like there's a reason for physical pain. You know, sometimes it's like, oh, if I could just do away with the pain. Well, there's a reason for that pain. That pain is our bodies, our physical bodies, way of warning us that something is wrong. You wouldn't want to live without pain. Oh, I know there are some pains we don't like. But pain is essential for us. What if you put your hand on the stove and just kind of leaned on it, and the stove was on, but you didn't feel any pain? That could be very bad. Feeling that pain, if you put your hand, whoa! Now you might get some blisters and you might get some burns. One of the boys went out to the pool for a couple of days. He was a real light-skinned guy. And he went out and he had his shirt off and he just got burnt. He had blisters on his shoulders from that sun. And it hurt. Well, that pain reminded him not to do that the rest of the week. So for the rest of the week, he didn't go to the pool. He laid up in his bunk, put aloe vera gel on his shoulders to try to make it get better. But we sometimes want to ignore the pain and pretend the pain isn't there, and we do that with sin. Sin is supposed to cause guilt. When we do wrong, we're supposed to feel bad about it. We're not supposed to feel good like everything's okay when everything is not okay. So that's one way that our society has tried to cover up the symptoms of sin, is just by saying, oh, don't feel bad about it. It's okay. When it's not. Another thing that they have tried to do is they've tried to just ignore the existence of sin. They've tried to just say, oh, well, that's not sin. That's just a lifestyle choice. Or that's just one way of doing it, and there are other ways of doing it, and you've got your way and I've got my way, and it doesn't mean either one of us is right or wrong. We're just different. But there are a lot of ways that we can be different, and it's good for us to be different. But there are some things where God has said, this is right and this is wrong, and if we're following a difference than what He says was right, then we're wrong, and that is sin. And we can't just ignore that. We can't just take the society's pill that says, oh, that's not a sin, and expect that that's going to make it not a sin. But we treat that symptom. We've gotten to the point now where every kind of sin imaginable is either accepted as just somebody's way of living life, or maybe they consider it to be a disease. Alcoholism. Oh, that's not a sin, it's just a disease. Really? Well, if so, it's the only disease that people choose to continue engaging in. It's the only disease that people make money off of, encouraging it and spreading it. It's an odd disease. It's the only disease that our government is not fighting and trying to get rid of. For every other disease, the government's spending millions of dollars trying to get rid of it. But not alcohol. Not trying to stop that one. But sometimes we try to just ignore that something is a sin. Try to cover it up, dress it up, like that cup and washing the outside of that cup, but inside it's still a sin. We can treat the symptoms. Sometimes we treat the symptoms of sin by bailing people out of the problems. When someone commits a sin, there are natural consequences that follow from that. And sometimes, unfortunately, we try to go around those natural consequences and figure some other way to solve that problem. We've multiplied sin upon sin to do this. When a young couple who's not married get involved sexually and the young lady winds up pregnant, because that happens, then it's such that, oh, what are we going to do about this? Well, the first thing that they need to do about it is repent of the sin that they were engaged in. But they never even think about that. Their only concern is, how are we going to deal with this baby? What are we going to do? Are we going to have an abortion? We're going to multiply our sin by adding, on top of having done something that God told us not to do, now we're going to kill the child that isn't responsible for that. Or maybe they say, well, we'll put it up for adoption. Or maybe you raise it, or my mama will raise it, or whatever. You come up with all sorts of ways to get out of having to deal with the consequences of their action. My mama. And so many times I see young people who have gone down that road, and then because the grandparents take the responsibility of the child, they go right on back out to doing the same thing they were doing before, because they never had to face the consequences. Or how about the young person who gets involved in, whether it be alcohol, drugs, or reckless behavior, breaking in, robbing, stealing things, or vandalism of any kind. And so they get caught and they get arrested. What does mama and daddy do? Go down and bail them out quick as they can. I don't want my baby to have to suffer. Well, your baby shouldn't have been doing that then. So they cover up the symptoms, and so that child continues to think it's okay to do that, and don't worry about it. Mom and daddy will come bail me out. They'll get me out of trouble. They'll cover for me. The problem is, when we only treat the symptoms and not the disease, not the problem, not the cause of the problem, then what happens is we continue to have the problem and it continues to get worse. If I only get 3 hours of sleep tonight and just keep pumping myself full of caffeine to keep going, and then only get 3 hours of sleep the next night, and the next night, and the next night, and the next night, how long is my body going to handle that? I'm going to get bad sick. If I continue to ignore that sore throat and just spray it with the chloroseptic spray or whatever it's called, and just spray that in there so it deadens the pain, and I've got strep throat, but I just keep spraying that spray on there, how long is it going to be before that strep spreads and becomes something that I wind up hospitalized for? Something that I could have just gone and gotten a shot, or maybe some sort of medication, some antibiotics for, that could have knocked it out. But because I just treated the symptoms and not the disease, I wind up in the hospital. Or if I got the flu, and I just keep taking the NyQuil, keep taking DayQuil, or keep taking some medication that just covers up the symptoms, how long before I'm dehydrated and in the hospital? Well, with our sin, how long can we continue to sin and keep just covering up the guilt and covering it up so nobody else sees it, so nobody else knows? Well, what they don't know won't hurt me. If they don't know, then I won't get in trouble with them. I can keep on living this way. The problem is that all of the things that God calls sin, He called sin for a reason. The main reason being that He knows how we ought to live and what will bring us health and happiness and joy and a good life. Jesus said, "I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." He knows what will bring us an abundant life, and He knows that sinful behavior is not going to bring us the abundant life. That's why He warns us about those things and tells us, don't do this, don't do that. It will bring you pain, it will bring you suffering, it will bring you consequences that you don't want in your life. But we have a society full of folks who continue to keep living in the sin and simply trying to defeat the symptoms. Jesus said those who are sick need a physician. And He Himself is the great physician. He is the one who not just cover up the symptoms of our sin. He can heal us of our disease. Sin is a worse disease than any physical disease that we can imagine. Oh, it causes some physical diseases. If you doubt that, read Psalm 38. He describes in detail how the sin in his life destroyed his physical body. But more than that, and much worse than that, it destroys us spiritually. It destroys our relationship with God. It destroys our hope of eternal life because it separates us from God. Isaiah says, "Your sins have separated you from God." So we can continue to come to church, cover up the symptom of our bad attitudes and sinful thoughts, and we can come to church all dressed up, looking good on the outside, all washed off, all cleaned up, with our deodorant and our perfume and our teeth brushed and all those things, looking good, and everybody thinks everything's all right. But God knows better. God knows what's really in our hearts and in our minds. God knows what we did on Thursday night when nobody else was around, or on Friday night, or what. He knows. And for all the covering up of the symptoms, we cannot avoid the reality that if we continue in sin and die in that sin, we will suffer eternally. There won't be anyone to bail us out on Judgment Day. Mama and Daddy, grandparents, they're all going to be too worried about their own skins to be worrying about yours by that point. Well, they may have bailed you out when you were young, got you out of all kinds of physical trouble here on earth. But there's nobody who can get you out of trouble with God. Only Jesus, who has the power to not just treat the symptoms, but to do away with the disease. His blood acts as the all-powerful antibiotic that the disease of sin. That's amazing, isn't it? When it comes to physical diseases, they have, you know, they have vaccines that keep you from getting certain viruses. They have some antiviral medications. They have antibacterial medications for bacterial infections. They have different things that they use to try to fight cancers. And they have all sorts of different things to try to treat all sorts of different problems. But when it comes to the disease of sin, there's only one treatment. There's only one medication. It's the blood of Jesus. And unlike some medications in the physical world where it may not work for you, the blood of Jesus, when properly administered and properly applied to the problem of sin, is 100% effective. In every case, it never fails. But we've just come in contact with that blood. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, if you believe that He came and lived a perfect life, He died on the cross, shed His blood, was buried in the tomb, and rose again the third day, all of that so that we could have that blood to cover our sins, to eliminate the disease, and to make us whole again. If you believe all of that, and if you're willing to repent of your sin, because sin, like so many diseases, even once it's removed, once it's killed, you can become reinfected. Sin doesn't just go away forever once it's gone. You could be reinfected. So you've got to repent of that sin so that you don't go back to it. Don't become reinfected with it again. After repenting of that sin, if you will confess that Jesus is the Christ, He said, if you confess Me before men, I will confess you before My Father which is in heaven. If you deny Me before men, I will deny you before My Father which is in heaven. If we confess Him and then be willing to be buried with Him in the watery grave of baptism, to have His blood come in contact with us, with our soul, so that it can be cleansed. Spectacular about the water, it came out of the tap just like all the other water in Choctaw County. But it's the obedience to God and faith in the operation of God, that when we do what He said to do, it will cleanse us. Just like Naaman dipped 7 times in the Jordan River. That was a nasty, dirty river. But when he did what God said and he believed what God had said, he came up cleansed from his leprosy. If we believe what God said and we'll do what he says and be baptized after repenting of our sins and confessing him, we can be cleansed of our sin. If you're here and perhaps you've done that, but as I mentioned earlier, perhaps after that you've become reinfected. You were a Christian, but you lived your life in such a way that you got sin back in your life. Don't just hide it. Don't deny it. Don't ignore the guilt of it. Instead, come back to Christ. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to wash you clean again with his blood. You know, sometimes, especially with things like cancer, it may reoccur and treatment may have to occur, has to be redone to get rid of it again. Same way with sin. When we get sin back in our lives, we need to go back to Jesus and ask him to have that sin removed and to cleanse us. If you're here this morning, you have a need to respond. We ask that you do so as we stand and as we sing.